Psalm 103. In the afternoon service, we've been looking at a Thanksgiving theme, and this afternoon we're looking at the first five verses of Psalm 103, praise and thanksgiving. Last week we looked at what Romans said, Paul talking about the unbeliever, and one of the characteristics of an unbeliever is that they're not thankful. So a characteristic of a believer ought to be that we're very thankful, and we express that thanksgiving to God. We find this all throughout the Scripture. Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, often said, I thank my God, and then explained what he was thankful for. And we find here in the Psalms, the writer of the Psalms was thankful and often expressed it in very unique ways. This 103rd Psalm, the first five verses, is a wonderful outline of things to be thankful for. So looking at our notes, one of the characteristics of the believer should be that of praise and thanksgiving. To the believer who has a biblical view of themselves and the goodness of God, he or she will have a grateful heart and lips of praise. In Psalm 103, we see the psalmist expressing his gratitude to God for several things. Let's look at the verses and read them together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, we see point number one. We see a conscious commitment to praise and thanksgiving in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So the psalmist is saying, with everything I have, let my whole being be one of giving praise and thanksgiving to God. So we see in point A, a conscious effort on his part. Thanksgiving, even for believers, doesn't come naturally. We still have a sin nature. And if we leave it up to ourselves, naturally, we're going to have an unthankful spirit. We're going to expect things, and it's going to be about us. But when we are conscious and we determine in our own self that we're going to make an effort to thank God, and we're going to be looking for things to thank Him for, and we're going to be reminding ourselves that we need to be thankful to God, then it becomes a conscious effort on our part. And it has to be a conscious effort. What we call it, point two, is mind training. Training my thinking to remind myself of how good God is to me, and how blessed I am, and how I can rejoice in His goodness and His mercy. I'm just blown away every day at the things that God does for me and the opportunities that He gives me to serve. And I'm just amazed that He would take me with my background and my training and being from West Virginia, the coal mines of West Virginia, and a Pollock on top of that. I mean, you know, it's just, and that's amazing. But God is good, and I have much to be thankful for and praise Him. So we see, first of all, the psalmist reminds himself of the need of thanksgiving and praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We see point B under one. The psalmist is reminding himself of the one who is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name. In one verse alone, he goes back and makes a distinction as to whom he's talking about. You can't read verse 1 without knowing he's talking about God. And so we find here this reminder of himself. I need to thank God. I need to be thankful to my God for what He's done. And when I have things in my life that maybe I feel like I've accomplished, no, I need to go back and thank God that He's allowed me to accomplish those things. He's given me the ability to accomplish those things. And without Him, I would have done nothing. I would have been nothing. So we see a conscious commitment. Point two, we see their personal benefits in which the psalmist recognizes. The first one is found in verse 3. He says in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The word benefits would be rewards or returns. It would be things that God does for us that are beneficial. For example, verse 3, who forgives all thine iniquities. So the first thing he recognizes and thanks God for is God's cleansing of his heart, cleansing him from sin. I thank God that he put 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. I'm also thankful that he put 1 John 1:8 in the Bible, because 1 John 1:8 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So I don't have to go around making up sin. Well, there's got to be some sin in my life. I mean, I'm sure there's something I've done that I just really need to thank God for and ask his forgiveness for. No. But God will point out things in our lives that need to be addressed, things that need to be confessed. He'll point out to us when we have sinned against him. And then he says in verse 9, if we confess our sin, meaning we call our sin, I call my sin what God calls it, which means I have to take ownership of it. I have to acknowledge that I'm guilty of it. I can't blame somebody else. Well, I did this because. No, I did this, period. I take ownership. I was wrong. I sinned. I need to confess it. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God will cleanse us of any and every sin if we will acknowledge it, take ownership, and confess it to him. Cleansing. The first thing the psalmist reminds himself of, the first benefit of God is cleansing. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. This is a present tense word. It's a constant forgiving. And thank God he's like that. How would you like it if God gave you a coupon book? Most of you don't know what a coupon book is, but some do. It's a book that has little coupons in it, and you tear one out, and whatever it allows, you get the benefit of it. What if God gave you a coupon book with, let's say, 5,000 coupons in it? How long would it take to use up that book? Not very long. If we had to literally tear out a coupon for every sin we committed, God says, okay, I need a coupon. Well, we tear out the first one, we still have $49.99 left. But what do we do when we get down to 99? And life is way far from over. And what do we do when we get down to 9? And we really are starting to sweat it. But God's not like that. He says, it doesn't matter how many times you come to me. If you confess it, I will forgive it. I thank God for a father like that, that I can have that kind of relationship and have his cleansing for my sin. Notice what else he says. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. The second thing is healing, spiritual and physical healing. Sometimes people need a lot of spiritual healing. And it is so neat to watch the Lord begin to heal a broken heart or a heart that has been deceived by someone else, a heart that's been broken by mistrust, and to see that person put their confidence in the Lord and see God begin to mend that heart and bring healing to that heart. It's also a neat thing and unique when you see God bring healing to physical diseases and see him work, and you know that he did it. Know that he gets the glory for it. So he says, I thank God for cleansing. I thank God for healing. Now, God's not going to heal every disease. But for the believer, if that disease is not healed in this life, it will be when we go home. So the healing is there, whether it be here now or in eternity. We know on the authority of God's word that our healing is going to be complete. The third thing we see in verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Redemption. He's thankful for redemption, which is, one, the result of cleansing, and two, the result of God's placing payment made by Jesus Christ to our sin account. Cleansing and redemption. What a wonderful privilege we have of being saved. I trust your salvation never gets old. I trust the more you go back and reflect on when God saved you, the more precious it becomes to you. The more thankful you are for that day when God pointed out your sinful condition and brought you to the end of yourself and led you to salvation, gave you faith to believe in Jesus Christ, and the world just opened up and you saw truth as it was. You saw your need. You saw Jesus as Savior, and you put your faith and confidence in Him. I pray that that day never gets old, that you never just, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I remember when I got saved. But no, oh, yes, I am saved. And oh, yes, I remember when I got saved. When we were on our trip, we were in a port and looking in a shop and buying a few small items. And a lady there in the shop, she had, I forget exactly what it was, but it was something that was a witness of the gospel. And I told her, I said, I really appreciate that witness you have there. And she said, well, thank you, sir. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, oh, yes, I am. And she looked at me and she said, are you? That's neat. Because it gave me an opportunity to say, oh, yes, I am. And it was neat. Just that. And I have no idea who she is. I didn't get her name. Just a moment in time. But just to be reminded when someone says, are you a Christian? And you reflect back, oh, yes, I remember the day that God saved me. David says, I'm thankful for cleansing. I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful for redemption. And then verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Exaltation, where God lifts us up from sin, the pit of sin, and lifts us up and sets us on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Lifts us above where we ought to be, doing what only He can do to raise us, elevate us to a position of sainthood, a position of being a child of God, that which only He Himself can do. Exaltation. The believer's exaltation is not self-earned. It's not, well, I have this because, let me read my list to you of what I've done for God. No, that's not it. It's knowing what God has done for the believer and what He continues to do for the believer is why we are willing and thankful and want to exalt Him. The believer's exaltation, point two, will ultimately take place in eternity. In other words, folks, the best is yet to come. Sanford said this morning, I was a little offended for a moment until I really thought about what he said. He said, I'd much rather be in heaven than to be here with you. And I agree with him. I think we all, when we really think about it, we'd rather be in heaven with the Lord than to be here with each other. But you know what? That day's coming. And it's going to be a great day. And we can be thanking God now for the day that is yet to come when we will be with Him forever and we will be exalted and become like Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 5, he says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Satisfaction. He's thankful that God gives satisfaction. To satisfy means to gratify. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusted in certain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Have you sat back recently and thought about all the things that God has given you that really makes life kind of neat? I mean, you really don't need them, and you could survive without them. But God has chosen to give you those things, and it makes for a satisfaction in life. And it's just you. It's just for you. It's not something that everybody has, but God has done this for you to bring gratification to your heart. He didn't have to, but He knew He could trust you with those things. He knew they wouldn't take your eyes off of Him. But as you looked at those things and you used those things, you will be reminded of who gave them to you, and you will thank God for giving them to you. Gratitude. Then we find also in verse 5, he says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. He satisfies the mouth, and then he satisfies the mouth with good things. Sustenation. S-U-S-T-E-N-T-A-T-I-O-N. Sustenation. It's that satisfaction that comes, the good things, those words and necessities that are good for the believer. Point two, the mouth that is satisfied with good things will be a mouth that is ever giving forth praise and thanksgiving for what God has given. He sustains us through those things. Some of those things that God has given to you, you use to earn income. He sustains you through those. Some of those things He has given to you, He gives you so you can do your hobby that you so enjoy and bring satisfaction in doing whatever you do to bring the result of your hobby. God's good to us. We don't deserve that. We certainly haven't earned it. But we can thank Him for allowing us to be the privileged one of His benefits. And then verse 5, He says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, I know some of you are sitting there saying, well, I could sure have my youth renewed. I wish I had some of the energy these young people have. Well, what He's talking about is rejuvenation. Your youth is renewed, point one. Youthful vigor is maintained spiritually. Folks, don't ever get old spiritually as a Christian. Really, there's no need for that. You ought to be youthful all the time spiritually. It ought to be the slightest thing that God does for you just excites you, brings joy to your heart. You want to sing about it. You want to jump around about it. You want to give an expression of thanksgiving, rejuvenation. And the longer we're saved, the more we ought to value our salvation so that we are rejuvenated spiritually. Even when our body is getting older and weaker, we still can be renewed spiritually. Two, those who practice the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to God are ever excited and energetic about what God is doing in their life. What did He say? Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. With all the effort that I can possibly muster, I'm going to thank God. I'm going to praise Him for what He's done, what He's doing, and what He's going to do. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, as we enter this holiday season, let's not be overcome by the world's mindset of material gratitude, but let's mind heavenly things and be overcome with the goodness of God to each of us personally, because we indeed are blessed. Thank you, Father, for cleansing, for healing, for redemption, for exaltation, for satisfaction, for sustenance. Thank you, Father, for rejuvenation. Thank you that you're the author of all of that. And you do that for people that don't deserve it. You do it simply because you decided to love us and you decided to demonstrate that love to us in ways that only you can demonstrate, in ways that we cannot duplicate, we can only enjoy and appreciate. Help us this week, God, to be thankful and to find things to thank you for. Help us to train our minds to thank the Lord. Help us to speak to ourselves, I need to be thanking my God for who He is and what He has done for me and my family. And I pray this will be a wonderful Thanksgiving week, Lord, for all of us, no matter what may come our way. Keep us through the week. And help us to be a faithful servant and a faithful witness for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.